Well, here's a song coming your way right now. Nowhere to Run To by Martha and the Vandellas. Yes! Hey, you know what I mean.
Too much?
Voices Carry Live. My name is Randy Scott. It is a beautiful, not as cold as it used to be, but it's a beautiful day. It's the 16th and it's currently 1920, not the year, but it's 7:20 in the afternoon. Welcome to Voices Carry Live. This is a podcast for you. We are broadcasting from the beautiful village of Carry in a studio that was purposely built out to separate ourselves from social media a little bit and have a platform to where we can discuss, have people to interview and to have conversations about the town. This is your microphone. This is your megaphone. And it's just a beautiful thing to start talking with your neighbor and to start talking about the issues and keeping things elevating to where we move the needle forward in the best way possible. If you've been watching for a while, you're probably tired of hearing me say that, but I constantly like to double down and do a station ID for new folks that are coming in. Everybody's welcome. If you don't live in Carry and you are watching from somewhere else, take a look at what we're doing here and start it for yourself, for your own community. It's important to just talk. I love people that that disagree with me. I would never want to work in an environment to where everybody just said yes to me or my ideas. That's not how we make things better for our kids and for our future. The intro there with the train, if you think that there's some symbolism there, you might be correct. It's a express train that will not stop. And that's you. And that's your voice. It's powerful. I have this train whistle here. It doesn't really work. I got it at Six Flags. And it doesn't work. Here, let's... We got rid of that. So... If you saw our last episode, we had a regular Voices Carry, and we went through some local events. And for those of you that have just started watching, we do go through more than just local sports. Usually that's when I'm going through and making the show, that's kind of the stuff that is posted a lot about. So like I've always said, if you have something that you want to, like just the other day we had somebody say, hey, I'd like to see you talk more about other things other than sports. And I completely agree. I love local sports. It's a camaraderie, builds morale. But I completely hear you that the commenter said, I'd like to see something about improv. And I love improv. I got to meet Colin Mockery, which was one of my favorite idols. I got to be brought up on stage with him at the Rouse Center. And I could not hang with him improv wise, but it was just an experience because he was on Whose Line Is It Anyway, and I love that show. And it was I love improv, and I think it builds character, it builds confidence. And if there's a local improv other than the Rouse Center doing that's great for kids to get involved with because it builds confidence. So that person that commented about that, or if you yourself know of an improv place that's local, that's maybe for kids, let's give them a shout out. The last show, there was a Zoom meeting that the village, not the village, but the county put on. And the Regional Office of Education put on a Zoom meeting about how to keep your kids safe online. And it was ran by Richard Wostocki. We simulcasted that live, and then we went over it and we broke it down a little bit. He had a lot of interesting things to say. It's an ever-changing dynamic of keeping our kids safe. When I grew up, it was only AOL. And it was like, hey, sports, entertainment, you've got mail. Now there's a lot of things, a lot of moving pieces, and he broke it down really well. The one things, let's just go briefly through the notes of what I took that I like to double down on. I'm always a fan of, instead of coming up with all these rules of like, okay, we're the parents, do as we say, and being reactionary, I kind of like to teach them how to fish instead of giving them a fish. And building confidence to be able to stand tall. And if they're in a situation where they're like with their friends or something, or if they're online in a chat, a lot of these things start off really innocent, like to where they'll be gaming in a game room with Roblox was mentioned. And they'll be patient. They'll take like a long time playing, and your kid will be thinking they're playing with somebody else. And then they'll be like, hey, let's go over here and chat. And it's that crucial moment to where you can empower your kids before that happens to be like, that's not right. And that's where I like to focus on is he had something called a golden ticket theory. Give him a virtual golden ticket that's never expires. And what he meant by that was that you have this golden ticket to where if you might have done something wrong, instead of them just going in the corner of their room and feeling trapped, they have this golden ticket to where they know they won't get in trouble. They can come to you with anything. And then an exit plan. So if you have kids that are starting to go out and hang out with friends, it's kind of like an emoji or a code word, and kind of game plan it out. to where it's like, hey, when you send me this, it's not necessarily like, hey, I need to get the heck out of here. It's like a code word. And when they get that, when the parent gets that, they'll be like, hey, they'll fire off a text, and but they'll be like, hey, grandma fell. I think she hurt her hip. I need your help. I'm coming to pick you up. That way, when your friends and you know that these friends exist, is that, oh, you don't need to leave. Just sit down. You can actually show them the text and be like, no, I got to get the heck out of here. And those aren't friends. You need to reevaluate your circle. And then the 3P test, before you send anything online, if you show it to your parents, pastor, or principal, what would they say? And if any one of them says, that's not right, that's questionable, don't send it out. And then he also said they need mentors, parents, and then I added community and village. How we act as a village and how we, even though most of the stuff might go on behind the scenes and it might not ever make it to the kids, the fruits of those actions will eventually affect them, and they'll see if you embrace and put into the world a certain glass ceiling to where it normalizes being mediocre, that's what they'll strive for, and they'll never strive for anything above that. And I intend on breaking that glass ceiling and showing that kid in preschool, that kid waiting to go to the first day of kindergarten, that when they get old enough to start poking around like I am and seeing how things are ran, they'll be like, wow, even when I was in kindergarten, there were people laying the foundation and the brickwork for a better future, to where a person like me will never exist again in this community. I don't want my kids having to fight like me, to where when they grow up, they'll be like, this is a town, this is a village. And then he also mentioned the Childhood 2.0 documentary on YouTube to take a look at that. And then, yeah, that was my breakdown of it. There's a whole lot of other stuff in that presentation that is good stuff. So I recommend taking a look at that. When you have time, it's a good watch. And then I also wanted to, there's no current events today, but I wanted to go through just kind of like who I am and like, why I talk so much about the school district and why I care so much about that, and give you a little bit of insight. It's not going to be a huge deep dive, but it is going to be story time. It is going to be story time from Randy, and I haven't like pre-thought anything I was going to say about. I pulled in some pictures. But I haven't really pre-thought or thought about anything. There's a few memories, but I'm just going to go through in real time and just talk about memories that I have from this beautiful village that we live in. This is Rocky Raccoon. The Cary Park District recently took this over. But this was a preschool that was independently started by a Cary resident. And this is over by West Main and the dental office there. And Cary Algonquin. I remember those windows on the left there. I remember having blackout shades that they would make the whole room dark and it'd be nap time. I can still smell this place. like I think the smell that it was the paint. I think it's that safe paint that we used. But yeah, and there was a this is the place that made me fall in love with rubber mulch for some reason. In their playground in the back, they had rubber mulch that was like ground up tires. And that's the first time I had seen that. And I would always be the one sweeping all the rubber mulch off the concrete back into the swing set area. And then I was also the person who would accidentally kick the ball over the fence that was in back. And the teacher would be like, hey, the ball's outside of the fence. And I thought it was such a privilege to be able to open that fence up and go get the ball and then come back. So that was me. Yeah, I remember walking into this place. Going the wrong way. And then Three Oaks School. Beautiful, beautiful school. I remember standing in the recess area, right to the left of this picture, waiting for my first day of kindergarten with Mrs. Heiser. And we had a I remember blackboards. The blackboards that they had in classrooms, and it was chalk, obviously. And when our music teacher would come in, I thought it was amazing. Remember the sticks that you would bang together and then the xylophone? But they had a chalk holder that would hold lines for the chalk for music notes. And she would draw all the way across the board. And then I was the one that volunteered to clean the erasers for the chalkboard. And that was back when we had little chalks. It was pieces of wood that were screwed on by rope onto the door so you could chalk the door open. Those don't exist anymore. But I would chalk the door, go outside, and I could still take you to the bricks that I would bang the chalk erasers on the side of the building on. And then eventually they got, I guess they found out that breathing chalk wasn't good. And they gave us this chalk vacuum eraser vacuum thing. It had it was a piece of equipment that was in this mechanical room, which I thought was awesome going into. And there was like a brush in the middle that spun, and then like a channel, and you would rub there was a vacuum, and then you would rub the eraser over it, and it'd suck all the chalk into the bag. And then I had Mr. Slatter for a teacher, Mr. Rasmussen. I remember his first day ever teaching. He taught with Mr. Slatter at Three Oaks School. I remember having my CD Walkman, listening to Love Roller Coaster on repeat. I was with my anti-skip 12-second or 3-second anti-skip CD player. And then we'd play telephone, waiting in line to go to gym. Then we had these big headphones in the library that you could listen to the cassettes on. They were like huge. I've looked them up on eBay since because I want to get a pair. I wanted a pair for this. That was originally what that was supposed to be. I was supposed to be wearing those blue headphones. But they had huge blue headphones. And we would listen in the courtyard to like CDs, but tapes. And then they had a computer lab that there was all these, probably about 40 computers with the floppy drives. And now it's all tablets. Now it's like they have these carts and tablets and whatnot. And we didn't have Wi-Fi. Back in my day. But we would always race to get into the computer lab to go to, there was four really good computers that were faster than the others that kind of did more stuff. And you could play this game that, it was like this math game to where you had to solve math problems and then it would change the direction of which way it's going. I've looked high and low to that for that game and I cannot find it. So if you remember playing that game and you remember the name of it, please comment below. And then they also had a prairie in the back that doesn't exist anymore. Kind of taught us how it's good to be mindful of the environment, and it got us outside and we got to weed, and they had a trail. I'd like to see that come back one day. And then that was the era of yo-yos. And what else? Yo-yos, and then there was like, I forgot the name, well, Pogs. And then there was something else, like little figurines that you had to like flick and knock the other ones over. I never played it correctly, but I just knew that everybody had them, so I had to have them. And I had to go to the Toy Connection. My parents took me to the Toy Connection in Barrington to get my first yo-yo. The reason why I'm going through all this with you is I'll share it with you at the end. But I think we all have shared memories of this place. Not specifically these individual schools, but you and I, we know that all these experiences are scaffolding on which we stand on today. There was a soccer field in the back, a big field in back. And I remember kicking a corner kick and it went in the goal and it was just amazing. Like the wind was blowing the right way. And then my friend and I, we would do these things called shockwaves on the swings. And I don't recommend this, but it's like you on the way up, you squeeze the chains together and then it would shake the entire thing. And then what else? Anything else for Three Oaks? I'm sure there is. I remember them painting that mural that's still in there today. That was done by Edders, last name Edders. I forget his first name, but he was a relative of somebody I went to school with. And I remember him painting that in the hallway. And then also Identikid came in and took our thumbprints. And I remember Identikid. That was interesting. Anything else about Three Oaks? Mr. Sanders, Mr. Walkage, Mrs. Zabinski. Just great people and great teachers. Hutchins. And then after sixth grade, I went to Three Oaks from kindergarten through sixth. And then I went for 1 year to the old junior high, which was Prairie Hill. And they did a huge remodel of this. And this is part of my way of thinking. I take in all this stuff and I think about it. And everything goes into a file, metaphorically speaking. And then I reference back on it. They did a whole bunch of remodeling in this and spent a whole bunch of money on this school, and then they offloaded it. They sold it. But I remember this was the school that from kindergarten till sixth grade, they would always say, like, we would be doing like daily oral math and daily oral language. And all the notes would be on the overhead projector that we would have to write down. And the biggest thing that I remember them telling us is that in junior high, get ready. They're not going to be writing notes for you that you write down verbatim. You're going to have to be taking your own notes. And that scared the heck out of me. And I went to this school, and it was a wonderful experience. Beautiful new marble flooring in the atrium there. And they had a gym. This is a school where 9/11 happened for me. The first I heard about it was walking out of this school, and I overheard, I can take you to the point where it happened. I overheard some classmates saying, yeah, it's all over CNN. And I had no idea what that meant. And then later, my parents and I watched it on TV. My parents explaining to me what was going on. And that all that stuff is still being unpacked. This school was the first time I saw them, how they get rid of shoe marks on the floor. They would take a broomstick with a tennis ball, and they'd get the shoe scuffs off the floor. And this place also had a prairie area in the background, and then field days, that was fun. Then I went to junior high, the Cary Junior High, for the first graduating class there. This school was brand new when we went in, nothing on the walls. The smell of like a fresh paint. And I had Mr. Tuber for band. Mr. Ryan. Whole bunch of great teachers that cared. And I remember this school specifically because they had when they first opened, it was like they had everything. They had a woods class. They had thanks for the thumbs up, whoever did that. It pops up on my screen. They had a woods class. They had drafting, where you would. I have one of the drafting tables. I found it. I have a drafting table that was actually at the junior high, and you would tape your drafting paper, and then they teach you how to draft. And then also art class. We got to make, they had a kiln. And they also had a CDC, thing that would cut out a CAD. You would design this chess piece in the CAD, and it would cut it out. I can still hear it today. And we also had balsa wood with like the CO2 cartridges, and we would make racer cars. That doesn't exist anymore. That they don't have drafting. They don't have woods, they don't have. It's a storage room. So we got some work to do. But Cary Junior High was a fun experience. And they had that team building thing out in the back and on the side with all the telephone poles and stuff. We did some stuff out there, but we never like actually got up high and did it. We went to Camp Algonquin for that. Oh, I'll share this one story with you. We had this catapult. It was a catapult project that my friend and I did, and you had to make a catapult out of wood. And we misread the scale of the catapult, and it was, instead of inches, we thought it was feet. So we made this huge catapult out of wood, and everybody else had smaller ones, and we had this huge one. And that's the importance of looking at the syllabi. And then Cary Grove High School for 4 years. That's the friendship circle there, honoring the kids with the bus incident. And that was great. I'd like to the reason, let's see if I had any others. No, Cary Grove. I had Mr. Kelly as a dean. He knew me. Just a great experience with teachers and everybody that worked there. Mr. There was this, you can't name all of them because they're just, it's just a whole collective of like the school district that you would go through. And I realized like why my parents moved me here. And I wanted to go through like story time with you to kind of give you some insight of like who I am and why I'm taking on this venture of correcting course and riding the ship. It doesn't all have to do with schools. Doesn't have to, like, that's not, I'm not hyper focused on that. I see the broad picture, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that I haven't even gotten into with all of you yet that I'm not really exactly sure how to break down. But it's just a little, it's disheartening to have all these really good memories of your schooling and your time in the community. And then finally, when you meet your hero, you meet your heroes, you're just deflated. So I'm taking this on because I can remember that standing, going into school at Three Oaks School. I want that kid that's there, that used to be me, to live in the world that he thinks he's living in. So I refuse to hand over a world or a community to my kids, and I'm sure you share this with me as well. I refuse to hand over and turn over the keys to my kids of a world that isn't what I thought I was growing up in. So that's my venture. The street that you live on is my main street. And there's a lot of stuff that needs to get broken down, and I don't want this show to just be like I want to bring to you stuff that matters, and I want to bring to you stuff that moves the needle. And I'm thinking about turning the Friday show into like a viewer request, like to where it's actually everything that you want to talk about, to where throughout the week all your emails and comments and stuff, we can go through that and break that down, because ultimately this is Voices Carry, and those are your voices. It's about family. And when I go through like all these documents that most people have never laid eyes on, and it's already forgotten about and pretty much scrubbed from online, but I have them. It pisses me off. But I don't like get in the mud, and I don't yeah, I want to keep this show to where it's about what you want to talk about, but I also have some things that are going to have to get aired out about what I've seen and about what I know. And it's kind of difficult to bring that out and unpack it in a way that doesn't, because it's pretty disruptive. It's pretty disruptive stuff. I mean, yeah, I you know, but I can't do it alone. So that's why I'm happy to see a whole bunch of people that care about their community. Now more than ever, we need to be a village, and it's not all doom and gloom, folks. It's really exciting times to be alive. It's really positive that we have this ability to go through all this stuff and correct the course of what we've been placed into. And I speak to all those that have been silenced over the years, including school districts, and have been railroaded. It's not going to fly. It's going to be aired out. And it's going to be a beautiful thing to be a part of this village and call this place home. And there's not one other place that I'd rather be right now than right here speaking with all of you. So tomorrow's show, I want to make it about, so if you're watching this and you have a request of what you'd like for me to talk about, or if you want to give a shout out, email us at voicescarry@proton.me. That's voicescarry@proton.me. And we broadcast live every weekday to X, Rumble, YouTube, and Facebook, and Twitch, which it's just about getting the word out there and to let you know that you have a voice. Yeah, I wish like every show. That's the thing. Like, I wish every show could be like entertaining and like just like well like formatted out, but sometimes you just need to have a talk. As they say, like, pretty much every show is for you, and then this one was for me, so I appreciate you listening to my story time. This has been Story Time from Randy, and it's a beautiful community that we live in, and I'm a product. I am a product of District 26. I'm a product of District 155. And to all of those who pucker up when I say that we're not going to have it anymore and it's going to get aired out, you should ask yourself, why are you puckering up instead of being happy that somebody was made in this town that is willing to put it out there and just throw their hat in the ring? So I look forward to future shows and seeing you tomorrow. So be sure to comment. We'll be going through some emails and going through some documents that have been scrubbed that might give you some more insight on what we need to correct. And I look forward to it. Thank you for joining me today for story time. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow on Voices Carry Live. Have a wonderful evening.
You're confirmed at T-minus 10 seconds.
In counting, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Reach for the sky.
Huh?
This town ain't big enough for the two of us.
What?
Somebody's poisoned the water hole.
It's busted.